saw Cal working the room the way he did. This wasn't a, you know, you had Josh who came in to get out, and they're coming from two different programs. Obviously, Josh just getting indoctrinated over UNLV. He's busy. He's got to hit other events. He had told us as much, that he wasn't going to just be able to sit tight at the EYBL. He's going to be moving through. But then you had guys like Cal and Penny sort of holding court in the middle of the EYBL. And obviously for Penny, you know, everybody wants to come up and touch him and everything else, everybody in Memphis. But for Cal, it was that. It was all the old-timers that wanted to come up, and whether it was thanking him or say, hey, man, this is what I remember about those days, he allowed that to happen. He wasn't just in here, hey, I'm going upstairs where the coaches sit. He was taking it all in. Mm-hmm. And so back to what you just said, yes, you could see the soft spot still resided there. You know, not, you know, maybe is it appropriate time to do it, that kind of thing? Well, it all sort of lined up with the event that you had there. And then back to, you know, in terms of those two in particular, you know, that Penny has a great deal of reverence for Cal because Penny was sitting front row a lot of times, man, as the ambassador during those Cal teams, you know, appreciating where Cal had the program as a guy who back then as a player, you know, hadn't coached it, but would have had a great appreciation for where Cal had taken the program. You can't help but have a reverence, and you can tell in the way that he's looking at Cal as he, you know, tells the story. There is still that reverence there for what he did for this program that Penny holds so near and dear. So a great respect, what's clear on both sides. And yep. Yeah, man, I'm looking forward to seeing all of this one. And we talked about the other one is going to be Kelvin Sampson that he got in there.
Yes.
We know for sure where Penny spent some time upstairs at the EYBL along with this Cal one. I spent some time with Kelvin Sampson. Be eager to see, you know, them exchanging whether it be stories or coaching notes or whatever else.
Yes.
Having coached against each other a couple times now.
Yes, you're exactly right. So the full episode's out on YouTube, episode 32, The Architect. It's about 35 minutes long. Clearly it was recorded at the Memphis Sports and Event Center. I'll be interested, you know, like you said, hear the whole thing, but it's on my list, and it's out there on YouTube right now. Let's hope we can get those two together for that game, man.
Oh, that's going to be the best thing on Tiger's schedule next year, probably.
Yeah.
Just in terms of feel good.
No doubt. No question about it. All right, we'll come back. We got Respect Burgers and then Jeff Calkins at 1:25. Stick around. Jason and John, ID China FM, ESPN. The Live Love Group at the Real Estate Agency is here for you because when it comes to selling your home, you want to make the most money. I mean, it's just that simple. And to do that, you got to get with a team that's got a track record of doing that, that knows, all right, hey, here we can list it at this price, we can list it at that price. You know, because if you list a price too high, that house is going to sit for months. And obviously, if you list a price too low, you're not going to get the most value. They have it down to a science. But you got to reach out. SodaLiveLoveMemphis.com.
625-5200, whether you use it now or later, it's the number that's going to help you the most. Helped me back in 2018. Helped our man Reg here recently. Jennifer was able to get Reg done. Got him placed in the Cope. Seller took care of all the closing costs, and Reg was a happy man. And that's the way Jennifer can do it for you. 901-625-5200. John said the key to not having a home on the market too long, or having to decrease the price, as you've seen, whether it's weeks or months, because it's been out there too long, is hitting it right the first time. Jennifer is an expert at that. Let her show you. But you got to make the call to allow her to do so. So whether it's on the selling side or the buying side, Jennifer's got you covered. She's the best in town. Put her on your list. 901-625-5200 is the Live Love Memphis, Live Love Nash, and Live Love DeSoto teams at the Real Estate Agency. Typically on Mondays, I pull out my big green egg. Pat out some burgers like I used to do at the Memphis Country Club, but I season these a little differently. We season them with respect in a world full of disrespect. Let's do Respect Burgers. So a couple of things here. First off, first Respect Burger is going to go out to thousands, and it's a particular group of thousands. John, it's a group that in 2013 got stuck on a Carnival cruise. John had watched this Netflix special, Trainwreck, Poop Cruise. He had watched it, I think, last week, and was telling me about it off air. I'd seen the trailers for it, had vaguely remembered the news story itself back in 2013, because what we ended up being reminded of was that CNN had kind of doubled down, eventually tripled down on this story, gone all in on a group of 4,000 or around 4,000 passengers who became stranded at sea back in 2013 on a Carnival cruise. Because the power went out on the dang ship. There was a fire inside one of the engine rooms, and it ended up burning out all the the big, thick electrical cords in the room. So all the, you think just one engine goes out, oh, you'll be fine, got four more, but they all went out. And so there's literally no power on this ship. Part of no power means, yeah, you can't heat up your coffee or have a slice of toast or anything else. But what it also, maybe they didn't take into consideration very early on, especially the passengers, was that when the power went out, so did the plumbing. So did the actual toilets, thus the name Poop Cruise, and appropriately so. George, are you aware of this before I get it? Okay, anyway, some have not seen this on Netflix.
I have not seen this.
It's a brand new Netflix. I want a documentary. It's about an hour-long special, a little bit maybe over an hour, going back to 2013, but just came out here recently, last couple of weekends, made into to come out 2025. Mm. And the respect burger goes to the 4,000 folks, man, that had to become survivors out there. I think John had described it to me sort of off-air as like a, you know, it kind of became that, a game of survivor, because what ends up happening is when the toilets go out and, you know, the ability to cook, they had to start making, you know, tomato and cucumber sandwiches with the you know, refrigerator food that's, oh, by the way, it's warming up because the fridge aren't working anymore. You just had an absolute mess. But the biggest mess happened when the, as you would expect, the number ones and the number twos started to back up, okay? And then not only did it back up, but as the ship is getting towed, pushed, tugboat styled where it needed to go, which was eventually Mobile, Alabama, after initially thinking it was going to be pushed to Mexico, it gets there. But as it's being towed, it tilts, as you would imagine, being pulled. And all of that stuff that we just talked about moves then again and gets all into the walkways and everything else. The point, my respect burgers go to those people that survived it, 4,000 of them or so. You were essentially just in a almost like a third world country with no power because their, you know, rescue plan changed. At one point, looked like maybe you'd go to Mexico. They drifted too far, ends up having to come back to America. And again, I think it was Mobile, Alabama. They changed. They were out there for more days than they anticipated. They had another Carnival cruise come by and take pictures of them as if they were some sort of like a sideshow. You know, this boat that's been, everybody sees it on CNN, it's stranded in the middle of the water. They had, you know, Carnival came up next to it with another boat to offer some aid, but they couldn't pick anybody up. It was a full cruise. So you've still got all 4,000 watching everybody over here with power. And the funny thing was they were trying to, you know, at that point you had no cell signal, and they pulled the cell signal off of the working Carnival cruise when they were close together. And those people that were on this cruise that was stalled out, that's when they were able to contact their families for the first time and say where they were. And so really interesting stuff. I had no idea how bad it had gotten and how these people really should be labeled survivors. The 4,000 or so that were left on this cruise. Carnival, boy, they had to do a whole lot of restitution, as you would imagine, and a lot of paying back. John schooled me. Ended up spending $500 million on renovating, refurbishing their fleet of ships. I think over $100 million on this one ship alone to get it back active. It's now back out there on the water under a new name. I believe it's now the Sunrise, John. Yep. I'm going to try to avoid that one if I ever do the cruise. I've never done the cruise, never done the whole cruise. For scared of just being trapped.
Yep.
And this would be this didn't help me in terms of making me feel any better about changing my my life's plan. But again, Carnival apparently has gone above and beyond in trying to rightfully address $500 million they've used on their fleet to try to avoid this in the future. What I was surprised about, and apparently Carnival was very surprised about too, although I'm sure they had to pay out a ton, was that the instead of blasting them. And some of the 4,000 passengers, you might imagine, had some you know, felt a certain kind of way about Carnival. But instead of blasting them openly and on every single news story about it, they credited the Carnival workers for the way they hung in there, going above and beyond to try to make this, you know, turn this absolute nightmare into something that was more than just, you know, apparently they went up out of their way, no sleep, anything else. And I'm thinking, man, that you must have, because the first thing I'm doing when I get off the boat is complaining. Yep. But to have those workers be so complimented of, you know, must have been a respect burger to them. You know, I don't know. They didn't have a choice. You're in the middle of the, you know, in the middle of the ocean, you got to work. But apparently they made such a good impression just in terms of trying to make it up to these folks that had bought their ticket that, yeah, man, when they came off the boat, most folks were thanking them for the job that they had done trying to keep things together. But a very interesting Netflix documentary. Again, it's called Trainwreck Poop Cruise. It's about a cruise, a Carnival cruise back in 2013. Respect to all those who survived it and all those thousands of workers who helped them do it. But you learn a lot, too, about the cruise industry that I didn't know. Some of the stops, what they do there, the workers behind it, how many they got on, sort of what happens with them. Behind the scenes, you do learn a lot. So respect to all those that were involved in that 2013 nightmare. All right, moving on back here locally. And this is something that I'm not sure exactly who's responsible for in Memphis. Maybe somebody can tell me. But it is something that I've come to monitor and appreciate in terms of things that our city does. And I did notice, I went back and searched it. There have been weekends that have been set aside and marked and where you can go out there over to Shelby Farms. If you ever drive down Walnut Grove, you'll see that there is this sometimes large mountain, and sometimes it looks like a mountain range of free mulch. It's one of the things that we do here in Memphis, and I think the folks over at Shelby Farms are the ones that put it out all the time. But they put out this free mulch that every week, no matter what, you know, what's happening here in Memphis, man, Memphians go out there. I don't know if you've seen, but they back up their trucks and everything else. And instead of paying for mulch, you go get it for free from the folks at Shelby Farms. And at one point, I think this was just like once every other minute, every little while they would be out there. But it looks like they constantly replenish this. And I haven't been able to necessarily find the source. I'm assuming those, you know, who knows, those buffalo and all that have something to do with it, with where they get this stuff from. But it is this free service that it feels like, you know, at least the members of Shelby Farms or the city is helping supply. But there's always a demand for mulch. I don't know about you guys, but we get in the spring, we get in the summer, and I don't know if you've had it, but there have been yard men who have charged me, you know, a couple hundred, $300, whatever it is, to mulch my flower beds. But it seems like to me, and again, folks can correct me or at least, if you've got any details on who's necessarily responsible for this, seems like, man, if that's happening, you're spending your money for nothing because this stuff is free out there. Again, overall, it's right off of Walnut Grove. Every time you're going through Shelby Farms, right there, not far from the light that's in the middle. Is that Farm Road? That light that's in the middle, not far from there, you'd be able to see it.
Yeah.
And again, just respect to whoever's doing it, whether it's the city, whether it's Shelby Farms themselves, because very little is coming free these days and in our times. And so, again, shout out to the folks that are providing the free mulch because they're saving some money for somebody. Probably, you know, guys like me, we're spending too much, you know, as recently as a couple of months ago, probably for mulch. Could have had it free. Could have been doing this myself. And then a little bit different one, and we will get into this with Jeff Calkins. And you might say, well, Jason, why are they getting a respect burger? Because it looked like it didn't work. But it has worked, and I believe we need to make sure that it continues to work because there are going to be more lives to be saved. But it looks like a former gang member, a young man that Jeff Calkins had written about a year ago, his name was Jarmon Johnson, was one of the people killed yesterday outside of Memphis Rocks, which is, it is so sad because it is an organization that seeks to combat gun violence, seeks to combat gang activity by pulling folks in off the streets and giving them an activity in the middle of South Memphis over at Soulsville, and had done that with Jarmon Johnson, who at the age of 12, Jeff wrote about this last year, for the Daily Memphian, joined the Crips. With Memphis Rocks, he had been out of the country, climbed Mount Kenya, had become an employee of this, nonprofit organization that, again, is seeking to give youths, seeking to give Memphis, but folks that are in particularly those sort of, you know, those dangerous areas where, when I say dangerous, we're in danger of losing our children to gangs, particularly there in South Memphis, but they served that community, and they were serving Jarmon Johnson in a way that the brother had become an employee, and it feels like almost like a story out of The Wire you would see on HBO where, you know, he had a foot out, maybe 2 feet out, and it seems like that life came back and got him. But this weekend, broad daylight, I think it happened in the 4 o'clock hour, I saw it on WREG, and I heard Jeff talk about it as he was making his way to Michigan, almost
I remember writing, he almost as if I remember writing about that kid. I'm not sure if Jeff had already had it confirmed that it was Jarmond. I've seen it all over Twitter and social media that it was. Guys, what Memphis Rocks does and is doing is needed. And I don't want folks to think, and again, this Memphis Rocks is doing a great job serving the community down there. I don't want folks to think mission failed here just because we've lost, it appears, Jarmond Johnson. Again, I don't know where he was in life, if he had gone back or sort of opened those doors again, or if that life was just not done with him and knew he was, you know, working there and everything else. You know, was living a successful life and seemingly had gotten his feet out. And here we are in a city that's awash with gun violence, and we've got a young man trying to get out that was sucked back in. I hate it to death. Yep. The respect burger goes to what Memphis Rocks and what Jarmond Johnson and all those folks were standing for, what they continue to stand for. And I just hope the community, if you didn't know about Memphis Rocks and sort of what it seeks to do beforehand, clearly you knew the need if you're familiar with Memphis and this city. But if you didn't, if you weren't familiar with the Memphis Rocks, guys, we need to put our arms around this community, around Soulsville, around Memphis Rocks, and really try to support organizations like this. Not let them go away because of this awful, tragic news and say, oh, that's not working. We need to put more behind it. And so, again, a respect burger to everybody involved over there. Obviously, our prayers as well go out to that family. But, yeah, sad story. Two dead. Another man's apparently in custody. But Jarmond Johnson, yeah, it appears, awfully, an employee of Memphis Rocks had gotten his life just on a totally different path. In a lot of ways, thanks to their help. His mom had told him about the place after he'd gotten out of jail early in life. Was, by all accounts, leading a positive one. Man got sucked back in over the weekend. I hate it for him.
Yeah.
But respect to the Memphis Rocks community, everybody over there, prayers to them folks. And, yeah, man, hopefully Memphis will support them in a way like it never has before, and will continue to you know, not put down the torch just because of what we lost a great soul. Jarmond Johnson.
Well said. That was a tough one over the weekend. You just hope, you know, for healing and peace, you know, for the good folks out there. But, yeah, really, really tragic, what happened over the weekend. We'll talk to Jeff Calkins, get his thoughts on all of it, the Grizzlies and more. Stick around. Jason and John, 90 FM, ESPN. Now we're back. Jason and John, 90 FM, ESPN, and as promised, Jeff Calkins is nice enough to join us on his way to the great state of Michigan. He joins us now. So where are we in the world right now, Jeff Calkins?
I'm like around Chicago.
Okay.
I think I just entered Indiana, actually.
You could stop by and wish Tyrese Halliburton well.
I sort of go south of Chicago. That's exactly. But I'm not really close to Indianapolis. But it's more of the greater Chicagoland area, and the traffic has picked up. It is kind of amazing. Here we are, the middle of the day, no particular reason, and I'm going, you know, 25 miles an hour.
Yeah, and, you know, you could fly, right? But I guess you bring the dogs? That's what this is about?
Yeah. There's two reasons. Well, one is I'm a frugal man. You may not know that. Two, I bring the dogs. And, yeah, that would be, you know, honestly, if I didn't bring the dogs, I'd also be paying, you know, a lot to board or have someone take care of the dogs. The dogs like it up there. And then once you're there, you got a car. You don't have to rent a car either. So you're not paying for the flight. You're not paying for the rental. And you're not paying for someone to take your dogs. It's honestly the only way to do it. And I also believe that anything 6 hours or less, now this is 13 hours. But I think 6 hours or less you should drive at this point because flying is so, I mean, literally our friend Lexi Johnston, she was, and it's her birthday, by the way, yesterday. Happy birthday, Lexi. She was trying to go to a Braves game over the weekend and had a flight, and they just sat at the Memphis airport all day until the flight didn't leave. And then they finally just turned around and went home. and that's when you could drive to Atlanta faster than you could fly.
Right.
And no, that's not true of Northern Michigan. But yeah, I have got the dogs.
All right. Well, the Grizzlies have some dogs, too, they believe.
There you go. That's why you're the radio professional.
That's exactly right. Now, I don't know if they're as doggy as your dogs. You know,
I hope they're more doggy than my dogs. Now, mind you.
Your dogs are vicious. At least one of them.
Literally, I was telling this story. We had people over last night. And I now get a little nervous with Gus because Gus bit John. Literally, he hasn't bitten anyone else ever. But John came bursting in the back door. Claire was in the kitchen.
Did not say burst.
Defenseless. You didn't knock. You didn't wait for anyone to open the door.
I think I just entered the home. I think I just walked in. It was like a burst. Like, what up? Fine, say hello to my little friend. That's how you say burst.
You didn't knock. You just came breezing in, whatever it was, unannounced. And Claire is there defenseless. And he jumped up and bit you in the shoulder. Yeah.
This is the back of the arm. But, again, I was very fortunate to have – I had a very thick hoodie on.
I know.
Because if I had not
– the other thing. You look suspicious. Like, you look like that guy in the movie theater who's copying, like that.
Right, yeah. No pirating.
Yeah, so you look like the pirating guy. And Gus has seen that guy. And he's like, oh, my God, the anti-pirating guy. The guy's right here in our house. And he bit you.
Gus took a stand for big cinema that day, didn't he?
Gus took a stand for big cinema. Exactly right. Yeah. I have a real guard dog. Gus will be.
I mean, like when he starts barking and stuff. Yeah, I'm serious.
So anyway,
it's effective.
Know. I guess I don't know. Like, Mayshak might be the Gus of the draft class. You'd think, right? Except for, is he gonna even make the team?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and that's what we were talking about all day. Is like, this strategy. Like, the Grizzlies are saying, all right, we're gonna try to win differently. And I just, you build around Ja and Jaren, but I think the natural question is like, are those two good enough to get you where you want to go? I mean, I think that's, as Jaren as your second star, a guy in Ja Morant who plays on average 53 games a year. You're kind of stuck. Like, this is what you have, but. I think the question is, amidst all of this shuffling around, what will it amount to?
Well, I mean, I think if you want to be heartened by it, first of all, you only have what you have. Like, you can't conjure up, Wemby or whoever, whatever. You only have the stars you have. They can't get a better player than those two. Like, those are the two they have, right? So there's no avenue to get a better player. Secondly, and I say this as someone who's driving through Indiana, Tyrese Halliburton and Pascal Siakam, certainly you would not have said heading into this past year, guard big man combination, who's better, Halliburton Siakam or Ja and Jaren? You would have said Ja and Jaren, honestly.
I would have, although it would have been
on the same level. And so
yeah,
there's no
same level.
Same basic. And if you can do that. That level players with the right players around them, then why can't the Grizzlies? Things have to go perfectly. They had an unbelievable year. Oh, they got role players, and they were in the East. I think what's interesting, and this is a point that Chris Harrington has made, is that I think if you're being honest with yourself, and we'll see what they do, as they have they're remaking themselves, right? They're clearly remaking the team. They're remaking it with an eye to not necessarily being better this year, but being better eventually, right? They're not better today. I don't think there's anything that's going to happen in this offseason that's going to make them better. So, I mean, they can still get better than they are right now, but can they be better than they were heading into last year? No, they've taken a step back or sideways and back. And what they're betting on is that Coward and the Suns' first-round pick next year, and other moves they will ultimately make. If it's not this summer, it'll be at the trade deadline or next summer. Or like that, they will ultimately be a better team, not necessarily this year, but over the next two or three years. That's pretty clearly what they're doing here, and it's why they didn't say, "Let's just go out and get a Herb Jones type player." They said, "Yeah, we're gonna have to take a step sideways and back in order to go forward." And that's an interesting strategy. But if you're being honest with yourself, that's what they're doing, right? They're not saying we're going to build around Ja and Jaren and be better at it this coming year. I'm sure they'll try to, but they won 48 games last year. If you were going to, I mentioned this on the morning show, I popped on briefly on my own show. If you were going to set their over under for wins right now, I think Jeffrey and George decided 42 and a half, maybe? I think they said 40. Maybe it's, yeah, 42 and a half. Where would you put it, John?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's in that ballpark for sure. Yep, 40, 41 and a half, 42 and a half.
How do you get people excited about that, Jeff? Right? You got to sell tickets. In the end, it's still a product, right? And we know the challenges as of last year. And then you know, we know Bain and that thing had run its course with the big three, and that changes needed to be made probably. We're all probably there and understand. I mean, look at your poll that said, what was it, 90-some percent like the move up to be aggressive, so we understood it. But still, what I'm with you. You're rebranding it in a way, trying to find new ways to win with Jaren and Ja. But what are you selling? Where's the new energy? Does it all have to be based in Coward, and we'll find new ways? So I was trying to say, feels like they're trying to sell us on a new window, right? Jaren signed up, and now nobody's talking about, oh, you got to do it in the 2 years that you got Jaren on contract. Now they're trying to sell us on new window, but it's still grit and grind, though, right? I mean,
yeah, I think you're exactly right. Like, the window is, we were on a 3-year window, mm-hmm. and now we've reset the window.
Yep.
I don't think it's so much what they're trying to sell us on. I think it's literally what they're trying to do. Like, in the end, again, like, would I have been excited if this team had added PJ Washington or Herb, like, to you know, after, like, if they'd done that instead of trading up to get Tower? No. Like, I don't know what.
That doesn't do it, though, to your point. That doesn't do it either.
I don't know what they could have done that would have, quote unquote, excited us. So to the extent that I think people are excited about it, it's, well, all right, now we got John Jaren, and John is still one of the most electrifying players in the league. And what we have now is a group of young players around them. Now, the last group of young players didn't work, you know, but we're going to say that Jalen Wells and Zach Edey and Coward – and, you know, and who knows, Vince, GG, whatever, that will be the new group around John Jaren, and it'll be, you know, we're taking another run at it with a different, you know, you had to take a deep breath and realize the last go-around didn't work, and so now we're taking another run at it with this group. And I do think, like, I am a little, I'm, you know, would I be more excited if Luka is suited up for the Grizzlies? Yes, but I'm reasonably excited to watch Coward and see what he can do, and to see Jalen Wells take another step, and Zach Edey ultimately come back, and Tomas Eitzelos. You know, I it's not a championship team, but I do think it's sort of got a fresh start and a breath of fresh air. And so, given the alternatives, I don't know what they could have done that would have made me more excited.
Yeah. No, I mean, it is what it is.
I'm with you there. You can sell hope with Coward, and that's a better thing
right.
in terms
There's
of
at least
right.
An upside to
I can't
sell.
Right. I can't. Nobody's going to buy seats for PJ Washington in the end, but maybe I can sell somebody on Coward is the future, and he's certainly got the build and the comps from some people to.
Well, that's the thing, so Jeff. Is like the Cedric Coward conversation is a little uncomfortable for me because I feel like we're going 100 miles an hour with him. And with no breaks.
Because you got to sell something, right? That's what I'm wondering on it.
It's like, I mean, I feel like it should be completely off limits to ever compare anybody to Kobe Bryant or Michael Jordan.
Well, in fairness.
David Thorpe did it. But I know, but it's like peddling hopium, though. It's like you're peddling this hopium of a guy. At the highest level he played was Washington State. Like, and again, he was going to Duke. Like I think the odds are better that he's good than not. But I just feel like we have completely gone overboard with him.
But who's the we? Like, I haven't. You haven't.
I think fans' expectations.
I don't think fans really expect him to be better than Kobe Bryant. Like, all those – the people, the hopium, that existed before the draft. That piece was out there before the draft. And then we found it, and then you're like, okay, you know – I honestly think if you could get a player who is, if somehow you could get a player who is as good as Desmond Bain but different out of Coward, you'd be thrilled. And I don't think most Grizzly fans expect better than that, really. I think we're hopeful. We're hopeful that he's going to be a
I mean, the 11th pick in the draft, you should be hopeful that he's a starter. That's what you should be hopeful of. Not that he's a star, but that he is a starting caliber NBA player.
No, but the whole idea, no. The reason they did this was they could have gotten a starter if they dealt that pick. They picked someone who had a higher upside. Who you
no, I realize
about,
they
right?
you want so, him to be a star. Right. You want every player you draft to be. You want
the third best player on the team. You'd like him to be the third best player, at least the third best player on the team. Is that unreasonable to hope for?
Well, no, because I drafted Zach Edey at 9. I need him to be the fourth best player on the team.
But no one. I don't think. My hope is that he's better. Though it'd be very different. Zach Edey is more high floor, low ceiling guy. Yeah. You know, Coward is he was drafted a little higher in a bad draft. But no, you want someone. I would like Coward to be better than Edey or Jalen Wells ultimately.
Yes,
and
yes.
If he isn't, I think if he isn't, it's disappointing.
I mean, I think if he isn't, there's going to be front office changes.
I mean, those two are all rookies, man. All rookie team.
Yeah, but
all rookie team. So I want him, but I want him to be better than that. So, and I don't think that's unreasonable.
If Cedric Coward is not all rookie, it's a colossal.
But that's not true.
It's a colossal disappointment. If he's not all rookie, he was compared to Michael Jordan and Kobe Bryant, and he can't even make the all rookie team.
Lunatic. No, the Grizzlies didn't compare him. If in the end he is not the third best player on this team, not this year, but ultimately, it will be disappointing.
Yeah, I just like my hope for the guy is that like he's in the rotation and he can make a couple threes a game and can defend
this year.
You know, yes, exactly. And then we'll see where it goes. But
exactly.
You know, I just like it, you know, whatever. I just thought the jubilation celebration was too much. Like for a guy picked 11th, you know.
Well, isn't it nice though to have? I guess the last time Grizzlies fans were excited about anything was Gigi, right? A year and a half, like Gigi during the lost season,
right?
Is that the last time we were?
Yeah,
really,
I mean a
like,
young player.
Oh,
yeah,
draft,
I mean yeah.
You know?
Because even with Zach, it was like, you know, he sprained his ankle twice, and then it's like, oh, here we go again.
Last summer, we were a little excited.
Although when Zach Edey beat up the hell out of Walker Kessler in that first Utah game.
Yep, that was good too.
Everybody was like, this is Yao Ming.
You'll find that it's hard to believe. I know someone, a longtime NFL fan, who's able to talk himself into, seriously, being giddy about Geno Smith.
He's a top 10 quarterback. I mean, what are you talking about?
And this is what I'm saying. And now you're going to be giving Grizzlies fans for being hopeful about Coward.
First of all, Geno Smith has already done something.
You built your optimism around Geno freaking Smith.
If Cedric Coward has the success in the NBA that Geno has had in the NFL, he will have had an amazing career.
They wrote me off. I didn't write
He will have had an amazing freaking NFL career. I mean, the Yahoo Sports ranked Geno Smith as the 8th best quarterback. You think Cedric Coward will ever be 8th at his position? I mean, what are the odds?
8th best small forward? I would think so.
I would think not. I would think the odds are definitively against him.
I would hope he would be the 8th
best. Because he was the 11th pick in the draft. He wasn't even a top 8 pick. So you coming at me, and this is a problem, because even me saying, hey, let's just ratchet down the expectations a little bit, comes off as me being abrasive and doubting the guy.
No. My actual objection is I don't think Grizzly fans are that I think you are conflating what David Thorpe said with what Grizzly fans expect.
It's every single outlet, Jeff. Every single outlet, when it came to this pick for the most part, save for maybe ESPN, A++, steal of the draft, steal of the draft. Everybody has the same consensus. And it's like, dude, it ain't that easy. It ain't that easy.
Kevin Tollum gave him a C- over at ESPN. C-.
Right, that's the only – he's the only
–
okay.
Hollinger called it biggest reach, same management division. But yeah, I agree. It's mostly, weirdly enough, it's the national media that has created this.
They're just drooling all over it. And I was like, you know.
And which has at least persuaded Grizzlies fans to be hopeful. Because otherwise, the idea that they were adding a young guy was going to send them into a depression.
Right.
So I'm kind of grateful that they slobbered over him the way he did. And then Drew Hill, regular on your show, wrote a highly entertaining piece about how he's a cook. too. He can cook as well. He was cooking for the whole team at Eastern Washington. So a man of many talents, and I don't think Geno Smith could cook for the whole team.
Now, hey, call me when Cedric Howard's number 8 at his position.
Jeff, real quick, and I'm putting you in a tough spot because we're, you know, this will be the last one. But I do feel like it's so important to ask you about it. And you wrote about this young man last year. I was absolutely heartbroken to go back, read the column, putting it on top of the news that we saw over the weekend. Two dead over at Memphis Rocks. One of them is a young man you had written about, Jarmon Johnson, a former gang member. He was a Crip by the age of 12, who had been working at Memphis Rocks, working his way off the streets, and was working with kids to help keep them out of gangs. And I was just telling John in the segment before y'all, I mean, before you, that, I mean, clearly the need is there. He was working, had been, and he'd been out of the streets, had gone, as you chronicled, to, you know, to Africa, climb Mount Kenya, and it seemed like he got sucked back into it for whatever the reason over the weekend. You just hate it, but I hope that the folks don't look at Memphis Rocks as something that's, you know, not succeeding, not needed after this incident. Can you do what stood out to you most about Jarmon Johnson and writing about him last year? And this is a tragedy, Jeff.
It's just gut-wrenching.
It is.
And I went back and I read the column. When I heard that someone was killed at Rocks, and then I had heard it was Jarmon, who, again, he has this unbelievable story of lifting himself out of, out of that life. He went to prison, and then he discovered Memphis Rocks, and he was sort of skeptical. He said, how long is this place even going to be here? Because places come and go, and whatever. And he literally took up rock climbing. And as you pointed out, he went to Mount Kenya with Memphis Rocks. There's going to be a series that's been sold to Hulu that's going to air this fall about this group from Memphis Rocks that goes to climb Mount Kenya, and he's in it. And I don't know exactly what happened, but evidently he was working at Memphis Rocks and trying to get someone to leave. And the problem is, it's not, last week there was a shootout at the Bartlett Walmart, and here it was at Memphis Rocks. Like, it literally could be anyone there because we are so, awash in guns.
Right.
That what once was a fist fight or whatever is now someone pulls. It's just insanity. And yes, it honestly is. It's all the more reason that we need places like Memphis Rocks. But it's so heartbreaking when, hey, the guy has literally turned his life around. And it's like when there was the shooting at the Memphis Allies a month ago, like at the place that literally at the meeting to combat gun violence. When you're not even as safe at the places that are doing the good work to help lift people out of this life, it's just absolutely gut-wrenching. I mean, Patrick's a photographer at the Daily Memphian, and he went, when I wrote the column, he went and did a and shot the photos of Jarmon last year. And he said, I just got a long conversation with him and found him, utterly, mesmerizing in the way, in the truth telling that he has about his life and about what it. So it's just a devastating blow, obviously, to Memphis and to Rocks. And it is certainly not a reason to not support or go to Memphis Rocks. It's a reason to embrace it even the more, but it's heartbreaking.
It is. Jeff, man, thanks for doing this.
Thank
you so much,
Jeff.
Appreciate you as always.
Yep. See
y'all. Yep. Here's Jeff Coggins, who I'm going to send some 2024 Geno Smith highlights to. He played behind one of the worst offensive lines in the NFL. Still put up numbers. I mean, come on, bro. Don't come at me over Geno.
We got that Geno Smith update earlier in the show.
Yeah.
That's because he's top 10.
Top number 8. He's top 8. I mean, let's not short him, obviously, I hope Cedric Howard is great. He's the number 11 pick in the draft. And so my expectations, I mean, that's a roll of the dice, bro. It's like, it's certainly far from a guarantee that he's going to amount to, I mean, much less a starter. I mean, there's a long way to go.
I mean, I think he's the next SGA.
I believe
11, 11.
Why? I mean, why stop at Jordan and Kobe? I mean, there's truly no limit to this man's potential.
Didn't you tell me SGA's taking 11th?
He was 11th, yeah. 11th overall. So there you have it.
What else you need to know?
I'll tell you what you need to know. Sonic is waiting on you. Sonic is America's drive-in, and it is hot outside. You need some refreshments, and they got them. cold drinks at Sonic. They got a great menu. You know, we always get the grilled cheese and the chicken bites when we go, but you can download that menu, that app, the Sonic app. Check out the fun $1.99 menu. It's all waiting for you at Sonic.
Half-price drinks and slushes as well as happy hour every day. Enjoy those half-price drinks and slushes when you redeem your reward now in the Deals tab. Make sure you download the app. Mobile ordering made easy when you order in that app. And use it to customize your Sonic favorites. Enjoy exclusive access to those new products and get exclusive deals. I recommend you hang out all summer long on that Fun 99 menu. I'm a big queso wraps man. You can do that in Bacon Ranch or Southwest Crunch. Whatever it is at Sonic, you're going to have a ball. Eat, live free. Eat Sonic.
All right, we're back. Jason and John, I turn of him, ESPN. And by the way, we were both correct when we said Ace Bailey would report for the Jazz.
Got that one right.
He got there Saturday.
Yeah, exactly.
The question was Monday. He got there on Saturday. So much ado about nothing in the end. We'll see him at Summer League. Some of these Summer League additions are going to be announced. By the way, not weird, but David Jones will be with the Spurs Summer League team with Dylan Harper and Carter Bryant.
Carter.
Yep.
Right.
So there you go.
Well, hello again.
That might be an interesting little Summer League team. Now I'm like, because that's like my next financial opportunity. Who are the good Summer League teams? David Jones, Carter Bryant, Dylan Harper. Okay. We might have a little something there. Lester's on somebody's summer league team as well. I think the Pelicans. He's on the Pelicans summer league team. So a couple of Memphis guys out there. Musa, obviously, with the Mavs.
Dane with Miami.
Yeah. So there's some Memphis ties throughout. It's going to do it for us today. Thanks to Jeff Coggins for joining us. Thanks to Drew Hill. For Jason, I'm John. We're gone.